Hey, welcome to Perspectives. This is a chance for us to have a conversation about just some current issues, timeless issues, and ask the question, how do we want to think about this issue from a biblical perspective as people? And it allows us just to have a little more of a free-flowing conversation than sometimes is possible on a weekend, to go down some rabbit trails, some things like that. And certainly, the topic that we're going to talk about today, I have taught about on weekends. You can find actual teaching online back in our Ephesians series, particularly, which has been a few years now. But today we're going to talk about predestination and free will. And this is a topic that troubles people often in their spiritual journey. I just had an email recently from somebody that said, you know, I'm really troubled by this, and said, how about a perspectives on it? And I've had many conversations over the years with people just saying, help me think about this. Help me understand this. And the root of the issue is really just the fact that the Bible seems to teach that God elects people before the foundation of the earth. Ephesians 1, Romans 9, some other places seem to teach that. And we can point out some of those verses a little more. And yet at the same time, the Bible seems to say, whosoever will may come. God so loved the world that whoever believes in him. And so how do you put these two things together? And so we've asked Bryce Vaught to come in and explain all of it to us.
I'm
so
ready. Yeah.
So Bryce, help us think about this from a biblical perspective and help us kind of think about it. And then I'm going to play a little devil's advocate at you here. And then I have a few ideas for it myself as well.
So. Great. We're just going to solve this historical issue within Christianity in one setting. So it's
That's
gonna
right.
be exciting.
That's right. We're going to have it done and never to be asked
settled.
Again.
Right. But no, this is a topic that I've wrestled with. It seems like since I've been in ministry, this is a conversation that comes up periodically. And as you said, people can really struggle with this. You know, I've had conversations where you're looking at predestination and people will hear that and hear this idea of unconditional election. And I've had some people tell me, that's not my God. Like, that is not who he is and not how he operates. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we have to understand that there's things about God that we don't fully know and fully accept or fully understand.
Right.
And so we're kind of wrestling with this tension that God does predestine, that he's sovereign over human history, and yet we do have this free will. And so really we do have to have this tension together. And within Christianity, there's a lot of different beliefs and core doctrines that we have that exist in this tension. You know, you look at the Trinity, how God is one, not multiple gods, but he's three in one. And somehow those both are true, and you can't cut that tension. Mm-hmm. And in the same way in our lives, that we settle with this belief that God is sovereign, he's good, he sees the end from the beginning, and he's determining how history is going to play out, how our lives are going to play out, and yet he's allowing us and respects our ability to choose and relate with him freely.
So if I were a cynic listening to what you just said, I'd say, well, that's both-sidism.
Yeah.
You're just talking out both sides of your mouth.
Right.
Can't be both ways. And here's what, again, somebody would say. They'd say, okay, so Ephesians 1 is part of where you get this.
Yeah.
Verse 3 and following, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. No problem. Verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So to the praise, and it goes on. Mm-hmm. But there's the clear statement, before the foundation of the earth.
Yeah.
So nothing you did, nothing you chose, you were chosen, selected, and then people would say, and by implication, somebody who doesn't believe then was destined for perdition is sometimes, some people call it double predestination. So that's troubling. So you can quote all the verses you want about free will, but that seems pretty definitive and kind of so.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And then I would go back to even looking at Paul when he looks in 2 Thessalonians and he says, look, at the end of time, that people will be rejected because they refuse to believe the truth. And so it's almost like the Bible is speaking in both ways, too, at times, to where it says, look, if you're saved, it's because God saved you without any consideration of who you were, what you did. But if you're not saved, it's because you did not choose mm-hmm. God. And so mm-hmm. somehow both of those work together.
Okay, so your answer to that charge would be you're comfortable with it because you feel like it's what the Bible says.
Yes, and it's not something okay. I'm comfortable with, but I'm trusting Scripture more than I trust my own understanding in this.
Okay, so a purist to one side or the other would say, okay, so I don't see any problem with free choice and predestination because somebody who's hard on predestination side, because they would say God predestined your choice just like he predestined the outcome. Therefore, mm-hmm. you are free, but you're free as God chose.
Yeah.
That's typically how that would be explained. And somebody who maybe is real hard on the choice side would say, well, you know, God chose, but he chose those who he foreknew would do it. And they often think that that's the out. Mm-hmm. So why not adopt one of those views?
Yeah, so I've got a good friend who took that second view, mm-hmm. this the idea, because they go back to Romans 8, that God mm-hmm. predestined us, but it's because he foreknew. Those whom mm-hmm. he foreknew, he predestined. And it's this idea that God, looking throughout history, understand who would respond, and he chose them based mm-hmm. on that knowledge. And I struggle to land there because ultimately, if he's choosing based on a foreseen response, it's almost like he's choosing on a condition. And mm-hmm. really, is that faith and that choice, is that a work? Mm-hmm. Or is that a reason for us to boast? Mm-hmm. Which Ephesians 2 says that he chose, he saved us by grace through faith so that no one would boast. Mm-hmm. And so that foreknowledge would be kind of a conditional election rather than unconditional mm-hmm. election.
So the other problem with that ultimately is it doesn't actually get you out of the dilemma. Mm. And what I mean by that is people think, oh, because God foreknew, therefore my choice was free, mm-hmm. and therefore God didn't make that choice arbitrarily. Mm-hmm. The problem, and why I say you don't get out of the dilemma, is if something is foreknown, it is still determined. And I know a lot of people struggle with that kind of logic, but that's true. If it was foreknown that, mm-hmm. you know, today, if, you know, I'm sitting here in this room and I slap you and mm-hmm. it was foreknown, then I don't have choice to the contrary because it was foreknown. It's just as determined. Yeah. I don't think I was foreknown to slap Brooks. I have choice to the contrary. And so any choice to the contrary negates foreknowledge or election. And that's really, again, why this is such a tricky issue, because that's our definition and understanding of free will, is I have choice to the contrary. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that actually gets you out of the dilemma either in terms of that.
Right. And so actually kind of let me kind of even offer mm-hmm. you a question as well. So I've kind of gone back and listened.
I don't know if I want you to. No.
I have gone back and mm-hmm. listened to even your membership videos and how you talk about our belief as a church. And so mm-hmm. you do talk about Calvinism and Arminianism and how mm-hmm. if they were on two trains, you know, mm-hmm. if you were eventually going down the tracks, you're going to have to jump off mm-hmm. one or the other because they become unbiblical. Mm-hmm. In what ways do those two areas become unbiblical if you take them to the extreme?
Yeah, so I did bring something to draw. So the way I've talked about this, and this is probably what you're alluding to, is if you're in a train station, whichever way you leave, so, you know, if you say Calvinism or Arminianism, predestination, free will, whichever way you want to do that, you have to leave a train station at some point. So on one set of tracks, you say God is big, God's in charge, God chooses who believes. The other way you say, you know what, I believe in free choice and God just opened up the doors and everybody can come, anybody can come who wants to. Both have some biblical ways to think about it, to Bryce's point earlier. And what I've always said is it really doesn't matter which way you leave the station, sooner or later, you've got to jump off the train, because if you don't, you end up taking your logical conclusions outside of the bounds of Scripture. Now, again, people who are purists would say, oh, no, you know, if R.C. Sproul were sitting here, I use him as the example because he's often the spokesperson mm-hmm. for this conversation on the one side. He would spit his cigar out and turn over in his grave and say, "No, this is not true." But having studied Scripture myself for years, I would say where you become unbiblical on the one side, and that is the predestination side, is then at some level God is the author of evil. Mm-hmm. And again, R.C. Sproul would disagree with me. I think he's changed his mind now. But and the reason I say that is because if you go back and you say in the Garden of Eden, God preordained that Adam and Eve would sin, which is what you would have to do if there was no choice there, then God chose a world in which evil exists and is good. Now, clearly he chose a world that the possibility of evil existed. So I think that is problematic for that way of thinking. I think the other side, if you leave all free will and you say, well, that's exactly why I don't like that train leaving the station. You have to jump off at some point, or you really don't have a God who can control anything, because then human choice always supersedes God's choice, mm-hmm. if you are always down that track. And what I've said in the past, that I think God probably laughs in some ways at this debate, because if you ever pray for somebody, what are you doing? You're actually simultaneously affirming both things. You're saying, God, you are in charge, not us, so you can change it, but you're also saying it can be different. It isn't mm-hmm. determined. And God tells us to pray for people, and our impulse is to. And so, yeah, I do think there's a little bit of having to appeal to mystery and saying, you know what, this is problematic. And now you got me going. The other thing that can be helpful in this is sometimes I think we overly take Scripture into either or categories, rather than being able to have a little bit of both and. And I fully acknowledge this can feel like a exegetical two-step to avoid an issue. But what I mean by that is, so Romans 9 we alluded to, it's where he talks about God choosing and how he hated Jacob, Esau, that whole deal. And he didn't hate them both. He chose the one, hated the other. And then we say, well, that's how God chooses. Just like he did there, or Saul in the Damascus Road, that's how he chooses. And we don't have a sense of, well, maybe there's a sense in which God chooses unconditionally, irrevocably, and yet still has arms wide open. Yeah. And again, I realize that won't satisfy the purists on either side. But I think when you look at Scripture, you can see both. You can see Paul on the Damascus Road where the light shined and God's like, I'm arranging everything in such a way that you will come. And then there are places where it's whosoever will may come. And so maybe, and I think on the backside of whosoever will may come, you can worship like a Calvinist and say, God chose me, God arranged things so that I believed. But on the front side, you can say, I this was the deal. And again, the analogy I think I used in past teaching is it's a little bit like if you're going to open a factory in Pittsburgh and you were to say, okay, if I'm going to make something that's unique, there are some people I need to hire and I'm going to make them offers they can't refuse because I need a chemist or I need, a tool maker or, whatever it is I need. And then you'd probably go out and say, but I need a whole bunch of people also who could come here. So whoever wants to come work. Now, ultimately, all of the people who come work, you made an offer to them they couldn't refuse because you were saying, I'll pay you better than whatever other option you have, so I'm going to come work here. But I think that's helpful to say there are times where it seems like God's work is more directive and active and other times where it seems more general, but in both cases, I would say God still chose before the foundation of the earth, mm-hmm. and I'll look back that way. The other thing I heard somebody say once that I think is good, and that is, I'm going to worship like a Calvinist, and I'm going to kind of live a little more like the choice is mine, because your point earlier, I think, is right, that the Bible is really full of places where our choices matter. And if you get too far on the other side of predestination. This would be another place to jump off. Mm-hmm. The train, you start to say, it doesn't matter what I do or what I believe yeah. because God's already foreordained it.
Yeah.
And that is not biblical in any way. Our choices matter. They have a future. Mm-hmm. They do impact God in some ways.
Yeah.
And again, I think that's biblical mm-hmm. To look at, but it doesn't always fit with the system.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it seems like conversations I've had recently, too, is people where they get to the point where they're kind of, they get to the place where they're okay with these both of these being mm-hmm. true, but then they have questions, how should we live in light of these mm-hmm. both being true? And I don't know, I come back to a similar statement where I've told people, look, you pray and you trust as if everything relies on God. Mm-hmm. But then you live and you mm-hmm. work as if you have that responsibility, and it does depend on how you mm-hmm. act. And sometimes you can easily swing into one, you know,
right.
one zone or the other, but mm-hmm. you really do try to have both of those together, where you work as hard as you can, you live wholeheartedly before God, but also you live with this deep trust that mm-hmm. ultimately, no matter what you do or what happens in your life, God is still sovereign and mm-hmm. he's still working things out for
yeah.
for our good, for those who are in Christ. So
yeah. Well, in some ways, it might be, too, that this is a peek behind the veil, which gives you the ability to trust, but in our side of the veil, often it is my choices
yeah.
really are all determinative. Now, again, that's hard because in some ways you say, well, what about if I made boneheaded decisions? Was God in charge of them? And mm-hmm. I would say, no, in the Bible, the responsibility is you.
Yeah.
And, but you know, those are some of the harder things.
Yeah.
So what is, from a biblical standpoint, you know, you kind of said, okay, I kind of see both strands of Scripture. Mm-hmm. Which train station or which way in the train station would you leave the tracks and why?
I would lean towards the Calvinistic side. Mm-hmm. I do tend to see, mainly because of just how ingrained sin is in our lives, mm-hmm. that we are incapable of just respond, like not just incapable, but also unwilling to respond mm-hmm. to God in a way that is positive or right. And so I just think even to respond to God is a work of the Spirit. And so mm-hmm. I would lean towards that just because of how deep-seated our mm-hmm. sin is. And that it really is an act of God and a miracle that we would respond in faith to him and mm-hmm. what he's done. So I would start there, and because of just how deep sin is.
Yeah, and I certainly leave the station that way, partly because I think if you're going to say big God or big person mm-hmm. in terms of the way that you view the world, I'm going to say big God's always better, and I think it's a better overall representation of Scripture. In terms of how you think about that. You know, there's an image in Romans 8 of adoption also that is used. And for me, that's a somewhat personal image because I was adopted as a young child into a family. And one of the things that's helpful for me in that image is I had no ability to make that choice. I had no say in the choice. It just happened to me. But as a child, I had choices. As an adult, I have choices about how I respond to that fact in my life, that is the family I was placed in, that those are now choices that I can make. And I think, again, what the truth that's communicating is back to the idea of don't boast. Your salvation, your status is not because you figured it out. It's not because you were worthy and somebody looked and said, oh, you're going to be great. It was God just simply saying, I want to adopt to myself. And there is something very humbling and emboldening about that view spiritually, as opposed to, I figured it out, I'm good, God chose me, because that is that undergirds an entire view of spiritual life. The other thing that it does, I think sometimes in a more Arminian free will kind of train departure, you end up rightly living with a kind of fear of abandoning your faith, because then there's no security, because it does depend on you. And I know in American Christianity, people try to say, well, I had the free choice in the beginning, and then God holds me from then on. But all of the passages about God holding us in his hand and our status being secure in Christ really make more sense with saying this was all a work of God than they do with, I chose it. Oh, and now I don't have a choice on the backside. And so there is something to that. So.
Yeah, I think it's really important within this debate too, because it does lead to a lot of conflict and a lot of tension within tribes and communities mm-hmm. and just in the lives of people. But when you read scripture, especially where Paul addresses this pretty clearly, it's really meant to create a sense of awe and worship and confidence, mm-hmm. as you said, both humility and this emboldening as well, mm-hmm. that's really what God has revealed it mm-hmm. to us for, mm-hmm. that we would have this deep confidence that he is mm-hmm. good and faithful. And two, just trusting, like I know this can be difficult to understand, but just also trusting in God's character of what he's revealed about himself, that he is mm-hmm. kind, compassionate, loving, merciful,
yeah.
and just resting in that truth as well.
Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit about the theology classes and seasonal studies yeah. that you and the adult ministry team are offering, and how
yeah.
some of these kinds of things are addressed in an overall flow.
Yeah, that's a great point. And actually, some of the conversations that I've had mm-hmm. recently have come out of the seasonal studies that we've mm-hmm. done. So we have several seasonal studies that are short-term, centered around some topics and content, but they're also meant to be a source of community as well. And so the class that I addressed this topic in recently was called Top Theology, and that's a part one. There's also a part two. And in that class, we just take some theological topics and concepts and really short segments, as concise as we can be, just give some biblical evidence and support for Orthodox Christian beliefs. And one of these.
So a great way just to say, if I want to get a good overview or a refresher in
yeah.
Christian thinking, mm-hmm. that would just help me think about these issues so that when I read verses in my Bible and I'm like, what is that? You have a context
yeah.
to be able to think it.
Yeah.
Really is there and runs throughout the year.
Yeah.
And everyone can find that on the website. Does it show all the classes?
It shows all the upcoming classes for a season. So I know we've got classes that are taking place this spring. And so you can, mm-hmm. Depending on when you listen to this, if you're listening mm-hmm. to this in the future, you can go to the yeah. seasonal studies page. And all the ones we have upcoming in that season, you'll be able to look through. But the classes that we're putting together, these seasonal studies, are meant to be repeated so that if you, mm-hmm. in the future, want to go back and do all of these are going to be a great source of developing your faith and growing deeper.
Right.
And
knowledge. I know ultimately we also hope to have some next level of
yeah.
this, because anything in 4 weeks can be really good, but obviously
yeah.
a topic like this, there are whole books written
yes.
on this. So in 45 minutes... we aren't resolving 2,000 years of debate,
right.
But we can at least scratch the surface. But if you, what we hope to do longer term is have some classes where you could sit and really look at all the scriptures on either side and really dig into the issue and try to understand it through actual inductive study with a group, rather than merely here's kind of a quick take and. Real help in quick take, and but also help in saying, let me sit and really think through this over multiple weeks. Some issues, obviously not everything gets that kind of treatment, but that's there. Any last thoughts on this issue today?
Yeah, no.
Feel like we resolved it for all time?
Yeah.
And,
anybody who
taking care.
Yeah, can go back and review this and
good.
Yeah, live with confidence.
As always, a lot of content on Orchard Hill Plus beyond the weekends, and there's a daily during the week, 5 good minutes. There's these podcasts. There's some of our class content. There's the great book podcast as well. So there's a lot of things there to explore. We hope that that's something that you engage in together with others from the church family as well. So thanks for spending part of your day here together with us today.